John, this is Davey. You're here. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Good.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're doing real good.
Oh, I'm doing.
You're looking at the recorder like it's looking back at you.
It might be.
I guess it is, in a way. Chapter 9, Cab Driving Terrier. John just winked at the recorder.
And blew it a kiss.
Blew it a kiss.
It's got a pretty mouth. Chapter 9. I was still breathing. It was just that my heart wasn't beating, and that ultimately was not good. The dentist had once told me that my heart could stop a car that wasn't moving, but he didn't tell me that a car that wasn't moving could stop my heart. I gave my heart to the count of 3 to start beating. 1, 2, 2.5, 2¾. Well, God damn it, nothing happened. I looked through one eye, and then the other. I looked through my excruciating pain. I didn't have but 9 seconds to live. I looked at Sir Thomas, and my life passed in front of me. It was like looking into a tiny rat ear. I looked at myself in the mirror, and my spleen passed in front of me. I looked like what the rats dragged in. I gulped, and as I swallowed my spleen, the maze of my mind saw Sir Thomas. He looked like 1,000 rodents had ratatillied him into 1,000,000 pieces, and then someone had used super glue and a spare metal to try and spare the poor ghoul any unnecessary untowardness. Meanwhile, Sir Thomas screwed up his eyes, rotated his arms, and looked the part of a cowboy ghost on acid. God, he screamed, and I tripped the squid fantastic. What had just happened? Sir Thomas lanced a grunion, and the fucker was still seeing red even after being eviscerated like a ring-tailed lemur. God. I did my best imitation of Sir Thomas Charles Barkley's little voice, like voice. God is just one of your magical words, you vile creature. I could see that no one was getting nowhere with this metal-handed. Not unless you wanted to be a dirigible pilot with a heart of air and the mandibles of a Precambrian lentil soup. The large hole protruding from my head was brilliant compared to the obscurity that was inside. My head ached, and my heart was on fire. Let's go, let's go, let's go, my inner voice almost made myself move. But I couldn't open the door to summer because Sir Thomas had blocked it with Kool-Aid. My heart wanted to open the door to summer. The rest of me wanted to open the kitchen door to Caracas. Sir Thomas managed to leave his sweat everywhere he went, and when he tired of that, he left his urine. This forced me to think more than I wanted to about how my Aurelian muscles worked, how they worked, and, more importantly, what happened when they didn't. Then I heard what I thought was my certain death. It sounded like a coagulated iron separating from itself. Imagine iron bars breaking in half and you'll have a stunning visual, but no clue. Coagulated iron is fucking depressing, and so is Caracas. I opened the door and gulped, and I was still in the kitchen. I looked like a pair of shoes with a bald spot and no sense of equilibrium. I got bronze when all I wanted to get was better. I got demoted when all I was late. I didn't even get a pink slip. I got some guy who snoring kept me awake and welcomed me to the Terror Dome. I heard Mr. Special, Sir Thomas, trying to turn silver into air just in front of me. Just behind me, I heard every thought I had as they leaked out of my head. Our kitchen had a central mezzanine in the middle of it. It was normally very gentle, but today it was being a pain in the neck and serving moldy Mai Tais. Dad was drinking with both hands and bypassing his mouth. The cable TV in my head was tuned to Escargot Channel. They were arresting someone for putting sluggo on the table. As they handcuffed the culprit, I was putting pie into my face faster than you could put pasta into another otter's extremities, faster than you can light Sir Thomas on fire. I was going to get a ladder to clean up the mess, but then I saw a cowboy. The space between when I saw the cowboy and when I saw that Sir Thomas was on fire and foaming red sangria. The center of the fire was creaking inside my knees, and I was running the color of Amarillo. What possibly could be gained by having breakfast now? We could drain the house of its desperation. But then, what would happen to the cold goo and the hearing impaired? The Legos, trademark, would be decimated. Would the sable of or the cold goo jumped the tracks, the fish would be emasculated and put in a tub of water and lifted into the air. Despite all that I saw, and the catapult, it was here where there met the door. It was there who looked like it was going to kick here's ass around the block for lunch, but then there just said, "Excuse me, I have some pies that need attending to." In the middle of all this, I pogoed until I dropped. Then I sent myself some Metamucil, registered trademark, and was immediately paralyzed, and Sir Thomas knew it. The fire in his eyes didn't shine as brightly as it used to. It looked like someone had taken a deer carcass to it. But I had some salt, and I sprinkled it on the deer and threw it on the spit, just in time for dinner. The enormous cut I had on my head made me limp like Mazda Miata. I looked at the catapult with my mouth wide open and promptly forgot to keep breathing. With a grunion in his hand, Sir Thomas smacked me upside the head. Fortunately, this moved the air from one place to another. He knew that a bologna sandwich with his arms cut off was just what I needed. That and some porridge. I could sing until I died, and they'd have to scrape me off of the catapult, or I could die until I sang, and they'd have to push me out the lunch door. I turned around, prepared to be intent. I took my hand and placed it on the catapult launcher. I heard a rude mooing and tried to suck in all the air I could. Dad had a rock in his hand, and he was looking at the catapult. Not only was he looking, he was salivating, like he had just seen a cowboy. I knew that meant trouble. Dano. But I was too distracted, and I didn't have enough time to figure out how much trouble. So I did the next best thing, and opened the door. God leaned down and told me to push. I pushed hard on the door, but for all the effort in trying to tear out my own eyes, I could still see Sir Thomas traipsing down the boulevard, holding his hand in the air like a lady. He looked like such a creep. The sable coat and the Karen stole only made him look all the more strained. He lifted his head. I guess he heard what I was thinking. The fire in his eyes exploded like lava from a volcano. The volcanic spray had been a little over the top. I thought of Sir Thomas with terrible pity. He was completely gratuitous.
Is that it? You're still you gave some great looks at the recorder. You're still looking at it. You're not so sure about it.
Yeah, it's looking at me.
It's looking at you. I'm sure it likes you.
Yeah.
Alright, I hope I capture some of those shots.
I know what you're thinking.